You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome to another Victory Monday edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host and the publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports, Ross Uglum. Joining me right here in the Bison Report studios in lovely Horace, North Dakota, is Zach Willis. What was it like being at a game?
It was fun, man. It's been a while, and we won. So Victory Monday, it makes everything better.
Yeah, it's nothing like blasting the sweet loving on a Victory Monday.
Yeah. You talk about boosted morale, you know, get to enjoy tailgating, 11 o'clock kick, take a nap by 4. Victory Monday, can't beat it.
There you go. Some good news. Coach is pretty coy about injuries,
especially this time of the year,
unless they're just effed.
Right.
And so for him to say that Jalen Sundell and Jalen Bussey are not effed is good news.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the no news is good news kind of thing, especially with those two guys. And frankly, they're in rooms where, you know, even if guys can make up slack for them, it's not positions where you want one less guy than you did the week before.
Oh, certainly. And, I mean, you talk about center depth. I don't even, like, I suppose you just play Gray if something happened to Westberg.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, even if Jalen, we saw that earlier this year, Jalen wasn't 100%, Westy can still go. An emergency situation, I'm sure they'd cut Jalen loose, but like I said, no news is good news. If he's not saying they're out, then.
Sure. Mentioned today that Christian Watson is running, which is a positive sign. You know, we've got some inside information that his mom will be at the game. And I think she probably would be either way,
right?
You know, and it's not inside information. She tweeted it. It's very much
that's not like a scoop we had.
Yeah, it's very much public record. But I think my point is, you know, you're in a situation where she probably comes either way,
right?
Because it's his last regular season home game.
That's my thing too. Is like it's Christian's last game there. I'd imagine he'd at least suit up and try to go.
Sure,
that'd be my general inference, but
right. And I mean, you're definitely not going to want to do anything that jeopardizes Frisco,
sure,
as well. But at the same time, you know, your last two opponents have been 13.5 point and 22.5 point underdogs. This is 5.5. This is a different thing. And not that they care about Vegas, but I mean, I think they understand that like their B minus game will get them beat this week.
Absolutely.
So they need to, and not that they can't have, because they were honestly electric in both of these last two games, mm-hmm, defensively, and have been really, really good. But I think they can deliver more than a B-minus even without C-Dub.
Yeah, me too. Especially with, I mean, just seeing him in person again instilled a lot of confidence in how they played against a good ETSU team. I saw some people trashing Eastern Tennessee, man, and
yeah,
that's a good football team, well-coached, and we'll get into that stuff later. But think about even with Christian, they're playing at the end of this week. You still have 3 weeks before Frisco to get healthy. So, I mean, hamstrings are scary, but if you think it's something you can nurse after taking it easy for more than half a month, then
yeah,
we might need him this weekend.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Randy Sanders retiring. Wild stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, was not expecting that because I and obviously he knew. I mean, he knew. So
that's not a decision you make the day after.
Right. So, I mean, I thought his press conference, thinking back on it, you were with me in there. I guess maybe it makes a little bit more sense. But just in general, like, he really seemed like a guy who was excited about what was being built there.
Yeah.
And normally, if you're excited about what's being built, you don't bounce. But, right. I mean, you know, we don't follow ETSU closely enough to make educated commentary on this.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a little more sense. You know, we heard him, the phrasing from him a few times, like even in the press clippings, was like, I didn't want what this team had to end and stuff right, like that, right. You know, which might point to, he was very emotional in the postgame.
He was.
I mean, his season just ended, so yep. That's to be expected, but definitely unexpected news out of, for him to be retiring, especially like, that team was dormant until 2015.
Right.
And he brought them to where they are.
Yeah. And he talked about, you know, how young they were, too. I mean, like, he said we're going to lose like 7 seniors. Yeah. And then we're going to come back. And turns out we doesn't include him. But
right.
I think a really impressive job to get them to that position. Like you mentioned, kind of rebooting the program. That was big time stuff.
Yeah. And like, I get more, less, I get impressed more with how teams play than I do with, like, success and their conference record or how they do season in, season out. They were well-coached. They didn't do dumb things. They had good fundamentals. I think he runs a tight ship around there, and I thought the foundation is laid for them to be good for the next few years.
Yeah, that hire is going to be big.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always big, but that hire is going to be big because I think it's not a situation where you have an empty chamber there. Like, right. I think there are bullets in that chamber, and you can, if you can get the right guy, you can kind of continue – on what Randy was doing as opposed to seeing it kind of go by the wayside.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the cool thing with when you build a culture with a school like that. I mean, I would imagine they have a chip on their shoulder, kind of that underdog mentality being dormant for 12 years basically since 2003 to 2015.
Yeah.
And then coming back now, it's like they've been building that culture ever since then, and we've seen it at NDSU as we go through coaching changes. It just picks up no matter who the guy at the helm is.
Absolutely. Signing day on Wednesday. I'm going to be on 1660 on Thursday. They're going to have multiple guys. We're actually going to, I'm going to try, no promises, but I'm going to try and have a Wednesday show. I'm going to reach out to some commits and sure. See if we can get a couple of guys and chat about this class a little bit. Get a show for Wednesday. Probably going to leave Zach out of that one. You're a busy guy. You got barbecue sauce to make. That's fine. But yeah, we're going to try and get that going. But Thursday, I'll break down the class with Jeff Culhane and preview the Friday game because no Friday breakdown hit. There will be a game going on or not going on, but shortly coming. So
heck of a week, man. Semifinal matchup against JMU again. And then I always love signing day. Like it's always cool to see like the highlights tweeted out by the official football account. And you get the zooms where I think it was Cole Payton last year where they screen recorded of him and Coach Entz talking. Like that stuff always gives me goosebumps, take me back to when I was signing.
It's cool. So. It's a cool day. It's obviously a big time thing for us. We're going to be running a special just so people know we're going to be running a special on VIP for signing day. So keep your eyes out for that. Not going to be quite at where we were on Black Friday, but, gonna be worth your while. You know, if you haven't jumped on board yet, jump on board. We appreciate it.
You get your money's worth.
We do. You do. I mean, there's no question about that. You do get your money's worth at Bison Report. And, we've got hoops tonight or hoops yesterday. You guys are getting this on Tuesday, a little behind the curtain. We're doing this on Monday.
Fighting Larry Birds.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get Nate in again, behind the curtain. this is going to be recorded on Tuesday or probably on Monday night after the game. We're recording this before, so whatever the result of this game is, here is Nate and I's conversation breaking that whole thing down. Nate, what a mid-major basketball night it was in Fargo, North Dakota. Boy, that was fun to watch.
Yeah, and that was the kind of epitomizes what we've been wanting to see from this group all year. Just kind of everything came together. It wasn't smooth for the whole 40 minutes, but this team grinded. They battled. They got stops when they needed to. They hit big buckets when they needed them, and what a great comeback. And it was great to see the emotion of this team, especially a guy like Sam, who's came back from so much, and you could tell that his teammates were really riding around him, and what a night for him as well. Just a fun win against a really good opponent in the Missouri Valley who's going to compete in that league this year.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize potentially about the audio quality. It's late at night. We're getting this out to you in like a 6.5-7 hour turnaround. So I'm just going to go straight in here with Sam's audio, but it's going to be off my phone.
Sam, immediately post-game had some sort of conversation or plenty of emotion after the game. First, are you okay? And secondly, can you kind of describe what you're comfortable talking about that?
Yeah, I'm totally fine, first of all. I was being dramatic, I guess. I don't know, this has been a long month. Physically, emotionally, every which way, and I've just been eager to get back to myself and to get back to the guys that I love playing with. And I just feel so fortunate and blessed by God. I'm just so thankful for Him. And in the moment when everything happened, I didn't really, you know, I was kind of questioning Him and why things happen the way they do, but there's always a deeper meaning and reason at the end, and I'm just so thankful for all of our trainers, especially Willie Guy as well, for being the first responder. But without them, I wouldn't be here, honestly. So just I'm so grateful to have them in my life, and God bless. I don't really know what else to say.
Strong message. And I think, you know, Coach Richmond said after the game that we're going to get more information about what actually happened out in California. But we've been told, you know, kind of from the jump that this was a very, very serious situation. This was a scary situation and really an unbelievable story. The way that here on December 13th, he's giving you 25-8-5 and kind of collapsing in his head coach's arms at the end, just It's I'm sure been the toughest month of his life too. You know, you get into his last year or theoretically his last year and start with this group that, you know, you had a top 300 player in Andrew Morgan and Willie Guy and Andrew Coleman to the top eight from last year. And you're thinking, man, we're going to roll people. We're going to have a chance against Arizona. We're going to have a chance against Creighton. We're going to have a chance against UNLV. And he's not available for those games and they don't win those games. And man, what a story and what a comeback for him and tonight, frankly.
Yeah. And I said it in the post game article. I mean, no one really understands what those guys go through in the off season with their workouts and how much work they put in and individual workouts in the weight room, all that stuff. And for Sam to be a senior and all the work that he's put in to have a scary situation like that. I mean, there was no guarantee that he'd ever get back on the floor this year. So to see him back now and working his way back in and then doing what he did tonight, it's something special for him and the team. And I know Coach Richmond thinks awfully highly of him, and hopefully he can keep it rolling going forward. And you can tell the difference that he makes on the offensive end and the defensive end with the way he can distribute the ball, get to the basket, rebound. He kind of just does it all and makes everything look a lot more smooth for NDSU than they did when he was out.
And I tell you what, man, this is the smoothest game that we've seen. When you, especially when you take the opponent into play and consider that, this was a 50-40-90 night for the Bison. And you just, with this group, you know, what we've seen from them, if you can get 50-40-90 out of these guys, you're going to win a lot of basketball games, a lot.
Yeah, if they play that well offensively with those type of stats, their defense is going to keep coming around. I know Indiana State still scored 70, shot around 50%, but they're still getting the flow. And Indiana State, they talked about it post-game. I mean, they hit some tough shots, and there's not saying teams aren't going to do that, but I know our big motto when we played with Richmond was if you keep making teams hit or take tough shots, eventually the percentages are going to play out, and if you just keep playing your game, the percentages are going to play itself out in the 40 minutes, and they did tonight. And NDSU shot a little bit better from the floor than them, and hit a couple more threes and made their free throws, and they did the little things to win and found a way to get it done.
Yeah, and you talk about tough shots. We're talking about Indiana State wing Cooper Neese, man. He 11 for 22 from the field, had 30 and 5 with 2 assists. He was a hell of a ball player, man. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, and I when I lived in Indiana, I got to watch Cooper play in high school, and he was just a shooter, and he's really developed his body and gotten to where he could score off the bounce a little bit, but he's a really good player, and it won't surprise me if he's an all-conference type player in the Missouri Valley for sure. If Indiana State does want to compete in that league, he's going to be their guy. And we talked about it pregame, but, I mean, they lost Tyreek Key, who was their leading scorer, coming back with Neese, and Neese has kind of taken on that load, and he's doing a good job doing it.
He is. Yeah, you have just a ridiculous shooting performance from these guys, the Indiana State in the first half, shooting at 55% from the floor, 50% from three, and 83% from the free throw line. They go in up 43-34, had a chance to talk to Sam, had a chance to talk to Bowden, and, of course, had a chance to talk to David, and they made it sound like it was really, really an internal win or an internal discussion. It wasn't they didn't get MF'd by Dave at halftime. There wasn't a chair throwing. There wasn't anything like that. Nobody broke any clipboards. The leaders of the team just kind of took control, and they end up blowing out Indiana State in the second half, 43-27. And obviously that's only a 7-point victory because of the hole that they dug themselves. But this was big time resilience, held the Sycamores to 34% from the field in the second half and just 4 of 14 from three. That's the difference in the game right there.
Yeah. And that's the luxury of having a veteran team like they have. You got guys like Rocky and Sam and kind of the vocal leaders of the team who can get into some guys themselves, and it doesn't always have to be the head coach. And I mean, this team knows if they're going to win games, it's going to be about the defensive end. That you need to keep working to get good shots, but ultimately, in this game, you can't give up 43 points in each half and expect to win. So just keep grinding it out on the defensive end. They won the glass 34-26 against, I mean, Indiana State was an undersized team. That's something that they needed to do, but they've done that against even the bigger opponents that they've played. So it just shows that they play hard and are doing the little things to put themselves in a position to win.
Absolutely. Little note, what we understand about the Andrew Morgan situation is there's a wide range. Could be a month, could be two, could be a little over 2 months. Do not expect Andrew Morgan back anytime soon is all I'll say about that. I'm not going to get any further into it until the school and Coach Richmond and Wes and those guys are ready to talk about it. But it's a long-term deal is what I guess I will say about that. And with that in mind, you're looking at a short bench. Bowden Skunberg, 23 minutes tonight. He was really, really efficient. 2 of 3 from the floor, grabbed 2 boards, but was excellent in really locking down on D. I mean, he's a long kid and a kid that got like 30 a night at Jamestown in North Dakota Class A basketball. And for him to really compete and turn into a guy that loves to defend is big time. I mean, I've been impressed by him.
Yeah, he's been really good the last few games, and his strength is going to keep him on the floor if he can defend for sure. And if he's knocking down a couple shots, I thought he did a great job tonight of getting in the lane a few times, finishing a few and getting a good look at another one. But his confidence seems high, and he's having fun. You can see him out there smiling, and he's going to be a guy that they're going to need. If Malik's out any longer, they're going to need extended minutes from Bowden, and hopefully he can continue to provide that spark off the bench, and it doesn't necessarily need to be scoring, which I know is what he's kind of used to from high school, but I think he's starting to understand his role a little bit more and he's having fun doing it.
Absolutely. And I think Malik is really a key because I think 29 minutes for Sam, 34 for Grant, 35 for Tyree, 30 for Jarius, 33 for Rocky. That's really going to be the absolute end of what you're going to want during this kind of slog of a schedule. You get 23 minutes from Bowden, 8 from Guy, 5 from Coleman, 2 from Stratton, 1 from McKinney. If you're not going to play a ton of Guy and McKinney, and by the way, there is an interesting lineup out there with Tyree Edie at the point guard position, something to watch moving forward. you're going to need MHH because at least Malik can play the 2, the 3, and the 4. And I mean, I don't think we've seen a ton of him at the 4, but he has that length, especially if they're going small ball. You know, the backup 5 now is Grant Nelson. That's the deal. I mean, the true backup 5 that was Andrew Morgan just isn't going to be around, and they're going to have to use Streit in that 4 spot, and he was down low in the post when he was on offense and defensively. So that's something to watch. But I think they've got to find 20 minutes a game for MHH if they're going to continue, you know, down this path without Andrew Morgan, which they don't have a choice.
Yeah, and I think the versatility of Harden Hayes for sure is going to help because he can provide depth at any of those spots that you mentioned. And it's a tough situation for Streit. I mean, obviously, ideal situation is that I'm redshirt and gain some strength, get some experience. But this experience for him to get in there and kind of be thrown into the wolves, I think he's going to take that and learn from it. And you can't get any better experience than just being on the floor and under the lights and playing in front of a big crowd. So, but Harden Hayes for sure is going to be big going forward, and we'll see how that bench goes. I mean, the guards seem to be playing a bit of roulette every game with different guys and different games. So we'll see how Dave handles that going forward and in the conference season. I think it's still going to be how he said it's going to be with there's going to be different guys for different games. There might be a game where they need someone to dog the ball up and down the court, and Dez is the guy that game. I think it's going to be dependent on the opponent and who's playing well at that time.
All right, Nate, talk to me about Pacific, and then let's get the heck out of here.
Pacific, West Coast Conference, obviously, got a new coach in Leonard Perry. He was the associate at Colorado State. They looks like early on they've played some pretty good opponents. They haven't beaten anyone that's of much value or really any good, but they really haven't been blown out by anyone. 9-point loss to UTEP, who's pretty good. 6-point loss to UC Davis. 9-point loss to Fullerton. 12-point loss to San Jose State. And a 2-point loss to Northern Colorado, who beat Montana State, who we actually got to see last week. So that kind of gives you a little glimpse there. So it's going to be a tough opponent, and it's a California road trip. We're going across two time zones. It's always an adjustment for athletes at any level, but it's definitely a game that they can win. And I see it as going to be a grinder like tonight, and it's not going to be some opponent that's going to roll over. Obviously, they're going to want to protect their home floor and get ready for conference season, just like the Bison are.
Yeah, it's I think it's an important opportunity for them to get that taste of Montana State out of their mouth, because right now, I mean, you're looking at a club that's 7-4, and I think you're pleased about that, but you're also 6-0 at home and 1-4 on the road. And that 1-4 number includes, you know, a game you probably should have won at UNLV, but it also includes some kind of embarrassing kind of embarrassing performances in Arizona, in Omaha against Creighton, and at Montana State. So even though, you know, nobody's going to write home about a West Coast Conference victory over Pacific, getting that true road dub victory when your next three are home against UND, SDSU, and South Dakota, that's big time. I mean, for confidence reasons, for a number of reasons, I think that's a big, big deal.
Yeah, and with the group they have returning, they know how important road wins are, and they know how tough they are to get to. Pacific's probably be a middle-of-the-pack West Coast Conference team who's obviously a really, really good league this year. But anytime you can get a road win, I don't care who you're playing, it's something to ride forward and get confidence going into conference season. I mean, we've talked about how big the first three conference games are with students gone, but keep the momentum going. Keep getting comfortable with our group back. I know we still have a couple injuries, but getting Sam back and getting some guys filling some different roles and keep getting better. Keep getting a little bit better every day, as Coach Richmond always says, and they'll be in a good position come March when it matters.
All right, Nate, we appreciate you. and let's get back to Bison Report Radio.
Yeah, you know, Ross mentioned I've been busy making sauce, and actually just want to take the Big Deck moment here to thank everybody that's been supporting us. I'm actually taking Big Deck full-time as of January 1st, so kind of a cool thing, and obviously...
You're not leaving us.
No, I will still be more time for Bison Report. But
full time scares people. You start throwing around words like that.
No, it scares me. Like having to think like I have to work to pay my bills and sure. all that stuff. So, but like I said, everything we have in the large part of it is due to Bison Nation and everything they've given to me, even since high school, all the support, getting emotional here. But, you know, we're headed out of town, later this week. So, we're keeping orders open, not for the Christmas boxes, just if you want one-off bottles, get your orders in by December 16th. We can ensure it'll get to you by Christmas. Still using promo code Ross for 10% off.
Dude, gotta love that. Alrighty, getting into this one, we're going to try and not preview James Madison a ton.
Sure. I'm excited about it, though.
I know you are, but that's another show for another day.
Yeah.
This ETSU deal... I thought, you know, Quay Holmes as an individual back, I thought he was impressive. But what this isn't even really in the show prep. But what I'll say is, you know, Randy Sanders just talked about basically the Kramerization of the program.
Yeah,
and that was what we had said the entire time. I mean, I don't think, you know, I mentioned like in the preview pod, I said if NDSU plays East Tennessee State 20 times and wins 19, you can't have that one be Saturday. I really think it would be like that. Like,
right.
I think if you played that series 20 times, NDSU wins 18, 19, maybe even 20 games. They were just not big, strong, fast enough to match up with North Dakota State.
Right. And I mean, there's so many factors that go into beating somebody handily like NDSU did in the playoffs. A lot of that is strength and conditioning. And I just want to tell everybody so they know, like, not every strength coach is made equal.
No.
And like, there's a reason Jim Kramer is world-renowned for what he does, and it shows up game in, game out.
It really does. And that was just, you know, because Coach Sanders, look, he took his job seriously. He called around the country, talked to people that had played against North Dakota State, tried to get, you know, ahead of it as much as he could, and everybody told him about how big, fast, and strong they were and how – they needed to be prepared for that physicality, and they just were not. They were not big enough. I mean, we're talking about 250-pound three techs,
right.
or five techs, I guess, and a 3-4 mm-hmm. usually. We're talking about a 270-pound nose. I mean, our guy, 97 with the beautiful flowing hair.
Yes,
he was more your traditional nose, but he wasn't even on the two deep. I mean, he played, but. They just 220-pound edge defenders, man.
Yeah, I mean, like I talked about, you could be – I mean, this actually, it's not going into the preview, but you think about JMU in 2019, same kind of thing. They had these big, scary edge defenders, but they're 230 pounds. There's at the end of the day, skill gets outweighed when you're bigger. And,
yeah.
And bigger and stronger and faster. Well,
when you have Rado and Cordell, edge defenders don't matter as much.
It kind of equals everything out. But, yeah. Like, as much – because – a lot more was equal than people think. They had a good game plan, executed fairly well. They didn't make dumb mistakes. But at the end of the day, it was just a weight room situation.
Yeah, I mean, a weight room situation and the quarterback turned the ball over.
1,000%.
Yeah, you can't do that. And
yeah, I guess that was a pretty large blanket statement. But, like, it wasn't a team that beat themselves.
Right.
It was NDSU beat them.
Yes. Oh, for sure. For sure. For sure. I wanted to just talk a little bit too about Cam Miller, because we were talking about, you know, his performance against SIU maybe not being the most impressive thing that he's done this season. Mm-hmm. I like the playoffs. I like the lack of FBS games because it means I get my FCS stats from Pro Football Focus College right away,
yep.
Literally the next morning. And, you know, I try not to put as much stock into their grades.
Sure.
We do share who the highest and lowest grades are, but that's more like stuff I'd like to formulate my own opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy, you know, breaking down of, okay, gap scheme against zone scheme.
Yeah.
Snap counts are always stuff really fun to pay attention to. They'll break stuff down into, okay, how did this receiver do with this corner covering him? How did this corner do covering each of the different receivers? I mean, it gets into the weeds, and you know how I love to get into the weeds.
Yeah.
But just on the raw grading, you know, Cam was mid-50s, which is average to below average against SIU. He was in the high 70s for them.
Yeah.
And I kind of explain how they feel about that and how I feel about that. Like, you as a quarterback, regardless of what your box score looks like, just have to be evaluated on what you do.
Right.
Lots of unblocked pressures.
Cam got beat up on Saturday.
He did. A lot of really impressive throws, completions, and incompletions with a helmet in his chest.
Yep.
Bad drops by Braylon Henderson and Josh Babich. And they know that. I'm not dogging that. I mean, they know that.
Yeah.
And ultimately, what he was able to do with the football was impressive. And it's not like he didn't complete passes. He did. But I'm just explaining why, like, on a day where he doesn't have 220 yards and three touchdowns, you're like, okay, why was it that much significantly better than SIU? It's because of kind of the circumstances around him, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot of that stuff, too, you can the box score, I've explained to you off camera before, is like there's the deep analytical guys that look at the numbers and all this stuff, and then there's the guys who look at the box score, the more traditional, old-fashioned stat breakdowns. I'm an eye test guy. If you flip on the tape, Cam did not have a bad game on Saturday.
No.
And it didn't indicate what his box score said and not necessarily what his deep analytical numbers say either.
Sure. No, I thought he was impressive and feel really good about, you know, even though maybe things didn't go great, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but I kind of like, if they can get C-Dub back, I kind of like the fact that the offense sort of had to figure out what they were without Christian Watson. Because it makes your second, third, fourth options more viable. B, because that's literally the offense next year.
Right.
They're not going to have him.
Right. It's also the fact that losing Christian doesn't make them one-dimensional, and they're just going to run the ball now. Like,
right.
Throw a 60-yard post to Zach Mathis. It's like, it can still happen to you, I promise. It doesn't matter if one's there or not. So I think that plays a lot into, you know, we talk about all the time how Bison defense is built around taking one aspect of people's offenses away. And same thing with NDSU. If you take one away, it's hard to beat somebody when you're one-dimensional. So good to see that. I mean, upwards of 20 passes, I believe. I think he was 12 of 17 or something like that. And
he started 1 for 6.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, happy with Cam and his performance. And then, obviously, just like a game manager position, he's just cool as a cucumber. You know, he's always running in the huddle. Just a lot of poise. I think he's really matured beyond his years.
I tell you what, speaking of cool as a cucumber, young Brandon Westberg.
Yeah.
That was impressive. He's been impressive. I still think that the offensive line, their best five, has Jalen Sundell playing somewhere that isn't center.
Yeah.
But we're past that. Mm-hmm. Maybe not forever, but we're past that in 2021, I think. But moving forward, like, there's nothing I saw from Westberg at any point this season that would make me think he's not one of their best five. And honestly, just looks, feels, is more comfortable at that center position. Is Jalen Sundell a better athlete?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Is Jalen Sundell maybe even a better football player? Maybe.
Yeah.
But I still think that could be at guard or tackle while you have Westy. I mean, I really struggled, just so you know, you probably don't care, but I really struggled placing an all-MVFC center. I didn't love what I saw from, like, any of them.
Sure.
Westy was at that level. I mean, he was right there with the kid from Youngstown that I actually selected. And I think his ability to play that position, plus the fact that Jalen is a tackle. He played left tackle at Merrifield. He won conference player of the year in high school as a freaking left tackle. That's right. Crazy stuff.
Played tackle here his first 2 years.
Sure. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. But, man, that was impressive from 77.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any argument to be had that Westy's not the best center on the team right now. You can get into that argument of who the best five and at what each position. I mean, Westy is just a natural born. He has the body. He has the feet control. It's a different kind of player in there at center. It's different than even guard or tackles. So a lot of nuance to it, but I, like you said, I don't know what arrangement it takes, but you know, if you can lose your starting center and not skip a beat with the backup guy, that's a hell of a compliment to number 77.
I blame Blazek because he threw Rado at center in practice. He threw Sun. I mean, he just.
Do you want to have that conversation?
He was a mad scientist.
You want to make me mad right now?
We miss you, AJ. Anyway, continuation of the Quincy Patterson package. There was some really cool stuff in for him.
Throw the wheel.
There was some stuff. There was stuff in for Quincy where Cam was off the field.
Yep.
Obviously, the triple option thing was cool. The Cam standing next to Quincy stuff is cool. That just, man, and I tell you what, you talk about a wrinkle that could use some C-dub.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of quarterback rooms in the country that can use that versatility like that. I mean, Quincy is just a freak show no matter where you put him on the field. Honestly, he might be a mismatch wherever you put him on the field.
Let me paint you a scenario.
Let's hear it.
Second one, they go 0-2 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Guard pulls. Quincy takes two steps forward, stops, and throws a 70-yard post to C-Dub. Okay, can we talk about this?
Yeah.
Because that's what's in the bag. Is he has not thrown it yet.
Right.
The fake QB power, it's coming.
1,000%. It's coming. I mean, and we talked about that when Cam won the job back over. It's like, you can think that Quincy's just a running throw.
Yeah, all of a sudden he's a Wildcat guy. All of a sudden he's Ronnie Brown. It's like, Quincy Patterson's not Ronnie Brown.
He can throw the football 80 yards in the air if he wants to. Oh, so.
That was one thing, you know, that I thought was interesting. You can break, on PFF College, you can break their passing down into 0 to 10, 10 to 20, and then 20 plus.
Sure.
Quincy is elite 20 plus.
Yeah.
His intermediate numbers were not great.
Yeah.
And that was a big criticism of the offense. A lot of the blame placed on Tyler Roll. Quincy was not great. And I'm not saying 100% Quincy fault, yep. 0% Roll fault.
Right.
What I'm saying is his completion percentage, his grading, et cetera, from 11 to 20 yards just wasn't good.
You can't throw a ball 20 plus yards every time you throw a ball. You have to be good right. with the stuff in between.
But his grading from 20 plus was elite. Yeah. He is a big time deep ball thrower, and teams will condense to stop him on second, third, and fourth.
You have short. To.
You do.
Hey, he's so big and so strong. It's almost like to the level of like what Cam Newton used to do at Auburn, where right. like no matter where you hit him, he's falling forward for three. But also, dude can throw it 60 yards. He looks like a jugs machine out there.
And that's a tremendous problem too, from the standpoint of. Or exciting thing
mm-hmm.
from the standpoint of if you have two tight ends attached or a tight end and a fullback, which they usually do. I mean, you as an offensive line at NDSU as a five, you usually have at least two more guys helping out. It's mm-hmm. usually a 7-man blocking scheme, usually
for big ones. Yeah.
So if you have that done correctly and you're turning a guy loose,
right?
You know, you're turning the backside end loose. You're not worried about him. You're blocking 7-on-6. If you get to a point where your blocking scheme has created a situation where Quincy is one-on-one with the defensive back, the play is over. It's six.
Yeah.
He is going to turf every non-Tutsy D-back in the FCS, and Tutsy plays here.
Right.
So it's a tremendous problem.
The fact of the matter is like Quincy could go over, through, or around you. Like, it's kind of pick your poison. You want to dive at his ankles. I guarantee you Quincy's jumping over you.
Sure.
And try to man him up. You're taking 260 pounds to the chest.
Yeah, you're taking his shoulder pad right in your sternum.
Yeah.
And it's not going
to
go great.
DBs don't like to do that. You know, shout out to all my guys, but yeah, not like right. you guys crave contact. That's why you play corner. But I told you in the booth, I'm like, T-Roll could really get in his bag and get crazy.
He could.
In the next 2 weeks.
And yep.
I think we're going to see stuff start to open up. But, like, seeing Quincy run routes and stuff, I'm like, what is going on? Yeah. Like, they really are not going to hold back with that package.
Speaking of routes, I didn't think the wide receivers were great without C-Dub. Yep. I think ETSU, if they had one thing, it was speed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're going to run into problems if you don't have a bunch of guys that are not used to being primary options.
Right.
Being primary options. Because mm-hmm. a lot of those guys are used to working against the other team's fourth, fifth best DB. You want to know why? Because the other team is guarding Babich, Gindy, and C-Dub.
Right.
And so now you've got, okay, Braylon Henderson. Now I'm running against the number one corner, and I'm not used to that.
Yeah, and I think that's what we talked about. It's just a reps thing. You learn how to beat better competition as you go through it. Or you just don't see it because you can't beat better competitions. So, but like you said, losing, I mean, Guindy and C-Dub, that it's completely different of a game day experience for each guy. So, I like the involvement of Zach Mathis. I thought Braylon was playing well. Now it's just kind of these things of like finishing these plays that, you know, are kind of game changing plays, going up and getting something with two hands. You know, Braylon catching his pass, Babel hauling in that one over the middle. It's all stuff that can get shored up and needs to get shored up to beat the next two opponents.
Tamarick Williams.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
Hunter Lipke.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
They're nasty. And Hunter finally looks healthy.
Yeah, I mean, there was that clip that was kind of going viral of the end zone cam of the A-gap hour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's textbook stuff from Hunter, and he's so nasty when he runs.
That's the ladder drill.
It literally is. It's like everything you practice. And, I mean, I was very, very impressed with Tamarick. And, like, you know, guys filling the hole, safety's coming down on the goal line.
Yeah.
Good luck, man. Like, you're either going to get run over again, but he is silky
smooth. Or he'll give you the sauce.
Exactly. I mean, he's so fast out of cuts for being 230 pounds and just so smooth. I think he's finally coming into his own. And, man, he's been balling out the last few weeks. So it's good to see both those guys kind of finding their groove again.
We need to name a sauce after a player. It's NIL season.
Yeah, you're right. Might have to cut somebody in the bag.
We'll get that figured out. The highest graded defender on North Dakota State University.
Dog, he scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
My guy.
Our guy.
Marquis Siegel. Oh, man. He is having his Courtney Eubanks coming out party. And it's like we sound like the biggest Destin Talbert and Jane Price haters on the face of the planet, but Eubanks and Siegel are just absolute dogs,
man. Yeah, and like my point of I don't even see it as hating. It's more love to these other guys.
Right.
Like, how am I supposed to say that these guys aren't balling out? Because they are.
They are.
The highest graded defender of the day is Marquis Siegel. And like I mentioned to you, corners just have this weird mentality where when they need to, they just start stepping up. And we've seen that with the last lineage of the last 4 or 5 elite shutdown corners.
And Siegel has elite speed.
Yeah.
It's out there speed.
Watch him on special teams. He's the fastest guy on the field.
He is. It's really, really impressive. He has been extremely impressive. You just see his snap counts going up and up and up.
As they should.
They didn't become like the full Voltron though. Did we ever see Courtney and Siegel on the field together? They always split them up.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the final version, for the final evolution. I'm waiting for them to go full Super Saiyan. Like I need it.
And I will in the press box once we see it.
Exactly. Exactly. Or if they throw that backside wheel to Quincy.
Oh my God, just man. Leave. I would have like head dove out of the press box.
Bison defense being the Bison defense, 17 pressures against ETSU quarterback Weird Al Yankovic back there.
You're sick.
Did you see the video I posted of him warming up?
No.
And his hair just whisking back and forth as he warmed up.
Poor guy, man.
Okay.
Not only did he get clotheslined like 7 times.
Dude, Hanky ruined him.
Yeah. So did B-Tom.
Here's the thing. If you're going to wear your hair like that, and you're going to warm up with your hair, not in a pony, not like if you're just going to let it flow,
right?
You want the attention, so I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah, and that comes good or bad. Like, if we always were told, like, if you're going to be ugly or do something that brings attention, you better be good at football.
Right. If you're gonna wear your Cole Jerick mohawk and your Brad Ambrosius mustache, you better be nice.
Yeah, and, like,
and they were nice.
If you're going to have, like, bright red hair that goes halfway down your back and not replace your front 2 teeth, like, you have to be an all valley player. That's the only reason. If Cody stunk at football, they'd be like, go back to the farm, buddy.
He would,
like,
be roasted.
Yeah, yes. Like, so, you know, you can't be 5'9", 170, like, rocking hair like that and not be nice.
Right. And he just didn't. I mean, they honestly, they need to find a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because that kid might be a gamer. Obviously, they went 11-1 with him. He does not have enough talent. Like, you had to roll pockets. We were watching 8 yards out with the entire weight of his body behind those throws.
And still just ducks.
He will not get you to the next level.
No, I mean, and it's weird. Like, he was a freshman, but we saw their holder. He's like 6'4", 220. Yeah, I'm like,
he looked the part.
Let that big boy play. Come on, let him cut it. So that's the pieces that, like, you can be a gamer all you want, but that's so hit or miss on if they're there Saturday or not.
Man, Eli Mostert has a chance to be special.
Real dog.
I mean, if I'm Matt Ants, I'm in the portal, I'm looking for just an MF at 1T.
Yeah.
Because if I can get a real MF at 1T and free up Eli next year,
yeah,
there's going to be some problems.
I like, go find 320 that, like, only plays goal line packages and, like, trim them down.
Yeah.
Keep them at 310 and, like,
6'1.5" 6'1.5"
Yeah.
325. Thick with four C's.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah, like the Mike Mayock, like, bubble butt, like, all that stuff. Yes. Like, just nasty.
I want junk. Where do I want it? In the trunk.
I like his jersey rolling up, and he's pulling it down between each. Like, only real football guys know what we're talking about, but yes, those are the hardest dudes on the field to block.
Thick. Tutsi was really impressive. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but good for him to get that pick. That felt good.
You know, yeah, he does a lot of work to not have that many picks.
Right, because he was a ball hawk early, and then I think they just stopped throwing it over there.
Yeah, and that's absolutely fair because, one, your receiver catches it, he's getting his spleen exploded. Yeah. Two, Tutsi might pick it off. And, you know, he put his resume together from tackling people, but, I mean, he's such a ball hawk and has the instincts to be a real animal, so good to see him get back on the board with that one.
All right.
Excuse me?
What are they working on this week?
Honestly, I think it's these final touches, man. Like, just shoring up a little bit of communication, knowing who's playing next to each other this week. I always think of it from an offensive line perspective, but if you're going to let this Quincy package go, it has to be sharp. So I think it's all that extra stuff. And like we said, they're peaking at the right time, so there's not much to change right now.
I think defensively, they've really got a handle on some of these substitution things. Like, we were complaining or talking about the, like, line change thing with the defensive line, and I think you saw a little bit more. Buttes, get in there. They're going to run it. Okay, come back out. Let's get a pass. Like,
it wasn't full.
Instead, it's 4-4-4 because you get a little bit more nuanced in that, and I think it starts to make more sense. I'm not going to pretend I understand the linebacker deal.
Right.
I'm just like, I don't know why Wiz is in when he's in, Kayser's in when he's in.
Yeah.
You know, Hofstadt, whatever. Like, I'm not going to pretend to know that stuff. But right, it seems like they're able to make legs a little bit fresher there as well. I think, you know, this is, if they can get C-Dub back, this is as dialed as I think they've been in a long time.
Yeah, man. I mean, they're playing, like, real, real nasty football. And like I said before, there's not much thinking. It's all instinct right now.
Because right now, for me, like, the defense is on one.
Mm-hmm.
And offensively, you are as good as you've been, but right now you're a little unbalanced.
Right.
And if the other team can stay in the game, like JMU has proven, you're going to need that other phase.
Yeah.
And so that's why I think C-Dub is so important, because we've seen that they don't have a problem. And I don't think if you can get Watson back, I don't think the Gindy thing is a huge deal. He's a great player, mm-hmm, but I think Watson coming back would kind of alleviate some of the stress of not having Indorf.
Right, and I think a lot of that is the fact that you can give Babbo Gindy's numbers and then feed Stoffel, whoever else in that combination, what Babbo is getting targeted, because Josh Babich is just as scary a freak of an athlete as Gindy is.
Yep.
So they can definitely make up with it. But man, it's good to see like that, not necessarily a feature back, but a guy who's running for 100 plus yards every week. Really cool to see Tamara kind of balling out. And it's just that workhorse, grindy down kind of guy that you hate tackling by the end of the fourth quarter, because it feels like that's been missing for a little bit.
It has. And it was definitely missing in the spring. Zach, thank you for your time this afternoon. Thank Big Deck Barbecue Company for being the title sponsor of the show. And thank all you wonderful people for listening. Have a phenomenal rest of your weeks, folks. And go Bison.